Okay, we're going to Isaiah 58. Get some more weapons from the Word of God to not only get set free, but stay set free. And I brought some really good meat tonight that I just pray to God that I can get across from to you by the power of the Holy Spirit in a way that's going to penetrate your hearts, souls, and spirits, that you're never going to be the same, that you're just going to look at things differently. Amen. First, I want to share with you from Isaiah 58 in verse 6. And I'm going to just read for a little bit. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, and you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide your face from your own flesh? That means you're not going to hide from looking in the mirror and seeing your own stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall speed forth. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in the drought, etc., etc. Hallelujah. And it goes down to say, you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. Amen. Amen. That's what we're here to do. That's what we've been talking about. We're talking about now getting set free, not just from the stuff that we've picked up in our lifetime, but from the stuff that has just kind of fallen on us. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to stress to you out of this scripture, first of all, this scripture gives me encouragement to be here teaching you, because I know I haven't arrived. Amen. I come before you guys very humbly tonight to share the Word of God with you, knowing that I'm just another saint in the making to the glory of God. And this says that if I do these things, and praise God, just being here and sharing with you, and you guys tithing into this ministry and working around this ministry, you are doing all these things. This is the fast that the Lord has chosen for you guys to do. It's not just about food.
Amen.
When the Lord tells you to fast, it's about giving of yourself and really the Lord's love. This is about loving people. So I am here to say, I'm doing these things, so then you get perfected. Amen? Hallelujah. So, first of all, some of the things that we're going to talk about, I want you guys to keep in mind, remember that. If you don't look in your mirror like this psalm said, or in Isaiah it said, hide not your face from your own flesh. You'll have to excuse me, this mic is distracting me, but I guess I'll get used to it. I just got to, Lord, this thing isn't here in Jesus' name. So when you look at other people and your circumstances and consider those things a cause for the way you're behaving, you're missing it. You're missing it. If you don't recognize things and take responsibility for them, how can you repent?
Amen.
How can you get set free? That's just a trick of the devil, distracting you, looking at everybody else's stuff, looking at your circumstances, poor me, poor me. Meanwhile, you're getting more and more bound and sicker in your body, and you're blaming everybody else. So hide not your face from your own flesh, okay? So as we go through this stuff, just ask the Lord to reveal to your heart what he's trying to show you about you. Amen? If your mind wanders to a brother, call it back. That's not God. Hallelujah. Okay, we all know from lots of teachings around here that the word Christ is not Jesus' last name. Okay? The word Christ literally translates to the anointed one in his anointing. If you'll turn to Isaiah 10, please. Back up a few chapters. Isaiah 10 and verse 22. I'm sorry, 27. Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. The his they're referring to is the devil. Okay? So the yoke and the burden is going to be destroyed by the anointing or the Christ. Amen? It's very important to understand this. This is like critical to what I'm trying to share with you tonight and something that you need to understand. The burden will be removed and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing, not because of a lot of self-effort. Okay? We're going to go to John 8:32. Who the Son makes free is free indeed. We're trying to get to that place that we're free indeed in all areas of our lives. John 8 and 32. Oh, this is very convenient. What I'm trying to put across is in my little word wealth in my Bible here. And you shall know the truth, underline know, and the truth shall make you free. And in my Bible, it has a little word wealth, which is from the Strong's Concordance. And the word know is ginosko in the Greek. And it says that it's to perceive, to understand, to recognize, to gain knowledge, to realize, to come to know. Ginosko is the knowledge that has an inception of progress and an attainment. It is a recognition of truth by personal experience. That is what I pray to God that you guys gain tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost, is that personal experience. And you will ginosko know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You have to know and understand the truth, and then the truth will make you free. We all know the Word of God is the truth and that the truth sets you free, but it's not enough to just have the Word. We're all binding and loosening, but what's happening? Okay? We have to have revelation knowledge. And this, what I'm sharing with you tonight, I'm telling you, grab it and it will set you free. Amen? Okay. When we come to Christ and we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our burdens are removed. Okay? We don't have to pay the price for sin. It's already been paid for us. A high price was paid for us on the cross. And it's paid once and for all. Now, I noticed that written out today. Once and for all. That's a powerful statement. Jesus did it once. That's got to be where that little term came from. Once and for all. He did it once and he did it for everybody. Amen. And we just use that so casually, but that's a powerful thing. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so we already read in Isaiah that the anointing or the Christ removes the burden, which is a sin, but he also destroys the yoke. Okay?
Could you say that again?
Sure. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, or the Anointed One, the anointing, as we read in Isaiah, removes the burden, which is our sin, and it also destroys the yoke. And that's the part that I think we haven't had enough revelation of. Okay? We all receive Jesus died for our sins, and then we jump around, la-di-da, Jesus paid the price, and now I don't have to do anything about it. No, we need to have revelation knowledge of the yoke-destroying power of the Anointed One. That is the truth we need to know, genosko know, to be set free. Amen? Okay. So after we get this word in us, then we're going to cast out those devils. Amen. Okay. So Jesus said, when you understand the truth, you'll not just be free, you'll be free indeed. I'll not only remove the burden of sin, which we know the wages of sin is death, but I'll also break the yoke of sin, which is the curse. It's the consequence of sin. Okay? You go to Isaiah 53. If I'm going too fast at all, please let me know. I want you guys to be able to take notes and get this. Because, you know, I'm just getting started. There's not a whole lot of scripture I need to share, but it is meat. Isaiah 53. Oh, hallelujah. We're already doing good. We're already taking care of the hungry and the naked. And hallelujah. We just need the genosko truth and we're all set. Okay, Isaiah 53 and verse 5. We all know these verses, okay? But we're going to see something new tonight. Something deeper. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Write down on your papers, wounded, and then the word transgression next to it, and bruised, and the word iniquities next to it, and the word stripes, and healing next to it. He was wounded for our transgressions, or our sins. You can put sins in parentheses. He is bruised for our iniquities, and as Pastor has been teaching you, those are the generational curses. The consequences of sin that get passed down generation to generation. And by his stripes we are healed. Okay? Now, I was reading today how in the Old Testament when the high priest went in once a year and they took two goats and they slaughtered the one goat and they took the blood into the Ark of the Covenant and they sprinkled the blood seven times. Okay? Annually, and that made that perfect sacrifice, and that's how God called us to do. Well, Jesus was wounded in his body and bleeding in seven different places. Now, pastors taught about that, and that's not really what I'm going into depth about, okay, but I do want to hit on a few of those places, the ones that we're going to be talking about tonight. Okay. So he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. Now, in the Bible it tells us that Jesus received 39 stripes. And from what I read, medical science has now proven that all disease, comes down to one of 39 root causes. Is that cool or what? Jesus got one stripe from that awful implement that tore the flesh off his back 39 times to cover every root of every disease. Okay. Now, I want to give you a little bit deeper understanding of the word iniquity, which we know is a generational curse, okay? But a wound, we know, if somebody hits you on the arm and the skin breaks, it's a wound. It's an open wound and it bleeds on the outside. It's external. The blood is external. So he was wounded for our transgressions or our sins, the external things, the things we do. If we are hit on the arm and the skin is not broken, we bruise. We are bleeding, but the bleeding is internal. So the bruises for our iniquities, an iniquity is a spiritual bruise. This is what I want you to write down. It's a spiritual bruise on the inside that tries to break and destroy our lives. An iniquity is a spiritual bruise on the inside that tries to break and destroy our lives. Now, I'm going to tell you another statement about iniquity, and you're going to all witness to this one. This is going to be the one that really just makes sense, okay? And write it down, please. It's a spiritual force. Write the whole thing out. An iniquity is a spiritual force that pressures us and drives us to bow or bend under its destructive nature. And I will read that again. An iniquity is a spiritual force that pressures us and drives us to bow or bend under its destructive nature. We all know that the sin nature is a presence. And basically, these things that we're bowing to, it's idolatry. We're talking about addictions tonight. We have given that thing preeminence in our life. We have allowed it in our hearts, in the place where we're searching for love and comfort, which should come from God. And because we open that door, now that thing continues to cause us to bow. Hallelujah. Does that give you guys a pretty good understanding of what the word iniquity means? And I read today that the word iniquity is mentioned in the Bible 300 and some times. I think God wants us to get a good understanding of this. Okay, let's go to the book of James, please. What? James, everybody okay?
Yep.
Everybody with me? Okay. Oh, Lord. Ganasco truth in Jesus' name. That's a new word. Okay. James 5 and verse 16, please. James 5 and verse 16. Confess your trespasses or your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Hallelujah. What this is really trying to tell us is that things need to come to light. Amen? That we need to recognize and bring things up into the light. We need to name the iniquity or the spiritual bruise. We need to bring that thing to the surface, name it, call it for what it is, expose it, okay? Confess it. We need to confess the fault that we have, no matter where it came from, whether it was of our own doing or something ancestral. So we're going to confess the fault, and then we're going to declare the blood of Jesus has set us free by those bruises. Amen? Ooh, I got something else to tell you about the blood he shed too. Ooh. Okay. So remember, the wounds are blood that is shed on the outside, which washes us from sin. So we're cleansed from sin. And we're healed on the inside from our iniquities or spiritual bruises so that we can live pure, holy, righteous lives and be at peace while we're on this earth. And Jesus died so that we could have it now. So Jesus was bruised to wash away that spiritual force, that personality of wickedness that we have somehow obtained, and to break the curse. We're remembering from Isaiah that he's a burden remover and the yoke destroyer. Everything on the outside, everything on the inside, free indeed. Matthew 16 and verse 17. Matthew 16 and verse 17. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. My little baby's been asking me for scriptures lately. So I just lay there and she's trying to go to sleep and keep on saying scriptures. And when I run out, she says, "Tell me more, Mommy." I have to say, "I'm thinking." Her and Larry play a game about scripture, so praise God. Okay, Matthew 16 and verse 17. And Jesus said, in red writing, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Okay. So back up in verse 17, Jesus says, I should have gone to the verse before that, Jesus said, "Who do people say I am?" Well, some say you're Elijah, and some say, whatever. Peter said, "Ah!" The light bulb went off. He hit himself in the forehead. "Ah, you're the Christ!" Now, these were the Jews. They knew the language. He didn't say, "You're the Messiah. You are the Savior." He said, "You are the Christ, the yoke-destroying burden remover. You are the Christ." Hallelujah. So let those light bulbs go off in you. You are the anointed one. So Jesus said, "Yeah, you got it. Blessed are you." And the word blessed means anointed and endued with power from on high. Ooh, blessed are you, Peter. Blessed are you, all you guys.
Amen.
Blessed means anointed and endued with power from on high. Now that's quite a statement coming out of the mouth of Jesus. Now why did Jesus say he was blessed? Because of the revelation that he just had. Okay? So when we grab a hold of this Gnosco truth tonight, we're going to be blessed and endued with power and anointing from on high. Amen? Okay. So Jesus said, "Okay, Peter, you are blessed because you got this revelation." We're blessed when we understand that Jesus Christ is a burden remover and yoke destroyer. It's not enough for us to be cleansed from our sins on the outside and faking it until we make it and someday I'm going to heaven. How about free indeed? How about no more torment? How about free to help others get set free?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. So after Jesus blessed Peter, and don't forget the power of the oral blessing, okay? This came out of the mouth of God. Blessed are you. You are anointed and endued with power from on high. Remind me to speak that over you after we get this finished. So he blessed Peter with power and authority, and then he backed it up by giving him the keys. Amen? In verse 18 it says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock," that's the rock of revelation. For those of you that have not heard it before, it doesn't mean that Peter was the first pope. It means that Peter, upon the rock of that revelation, the church was going to be built. Not upon Peter, but upon the rock of revelation, the church was going to be built. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against that revelation and against the church, or against you guys. You too, Mom.
Praise God.
And then we get the keys to the kingdom. Now, once we got this Gnosco truth, now the keys work. Amen. Okay? Now, you know, keys, people like keys because they represent authority. You know, you see these people walking around and their hips are like, they're walking crooked because they got all these keys. You know, they're riding their bicycle because they don't even have a car. You know, they don't have anywhere to go, but they like these keys because it gives them authority. They're a sign of authority. Hallelujah. And they are, because, I mean, keys help you to let someone in or let someone out, to open or to close, for you to go in and go out. Keys are pretty powerful little tools. Hallelujah. So once we get the Gnosco truth and we're blessed and endued with power from on high and he gives us the authority and the keys, no longer will drugs, alcohol, anger, poverty, divorce, pornography, incest, I don't care what it is, no longer will it have power over our lives. Okay? So we're going to remember the history of how this all happened. God was in the beginning, and he had all the authority, and he wanted somebody to love on, so he made Adam. And gave him the authority. And Adam blew it in a hurry. But better Adam than me. Hallelujah. We'd all done the same thing. Hallelujah. And he lost the keys to Satan. So Jesus died and descended into hell to take the keys back. Now he's given us the keys. And thank God for the Word of God. You know, please understand, what I'm sharing with you is another one of those revelation truths for this time. This is God trying to get his church set free and cleaned up, because we are about to enter a very busy time in the history of the church. The most exciting time that there is. The biggest harvest, the most miracles, greater works than Jesus did are we going to do? We're not going to do it if we don't get a hold of this Gnosco truth. And tonight's a perfectly good night to do it. Amen? Okay, so if we have the revelation that Jesus is the burden-removing and yoke-destroying one, that Jesus is the one who will set us free, forgive our sins, break the curses off of our lives. Once we got that truth, now we have the keys and the keys work. We're not running around like those guys with the heavy pockets. They have a bunch of keys that don't do anything. Amen? Now, it doesn't matter where the sin and the curse, the consequences of the sin came from. It doesn't matter if it's from a generational thing or if it's something that you did. This truth works the same. Amen? But if it's something you did, it's going down to your children. So no matter what the cause, no matter where it came from, we need to break it. And it is very helpful to recognize it and break them specifically. You've been learning that all week, 2 weeks. Don't stop doing that. God will continue to bring things to your attention that he wants you to specifically pray about, repent for. And then you know what? After we repent and we've been washed by the blood from our sin and from our iniquities, then we're going to use that key and we're going to shut the door. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to stay set free. Okay. We no longer have to pay the penalty. We can live in the blessing and freedom of God's redemption and restoration. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Okay, now we're going to get into that other thing I was telling you about that's really exciting me. Matthew 26 and verse 39. This is about when Jesus began the agony, where it all started, where the first of the seven places Jesus shed blood from. Okay, this is the first place. This was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Pastor shares with you frequently that this is where Jesus died. Amen. Now, in Matthew 26 and verse 39, it says, well, we'll go to 38 first. Jesus said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Probably more than any place in the Bible, except maybe when Jesus was in the temple telling his parents, "What do you mean you don't know where I am?" God said, "Uh-uh, obey your parents." And now Jesus is showing his humanity again. And he's showing that as 100% man, and 100% God, he went through that conflict of the will for us that day. I want you to turn to another location so we can really get a hold of this. Luke 22. We're going to look at it again someplace else. Luke 22, starting at verse 42. "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me." Oh, he was hoping. Maybe Daddy changed his mind. "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. And being in agony, he had to be strengthened by an angel to even continue. He was in such agony. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Now the thing I want to, okay, this is time for some gnosco truth again, okay? You guys really pay attention. Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the Most High God, God Himself incarnate on earth, walked into that garden with His disciples who fell asleep and agonized over the choice of His will or His Father's will. He was born man. He still had a free will. And he agonized so that he shed blood from sweat so that he made the exchange so that we can take our willpower back. Okay? We're talking about addictions here tonight. We're talking about getting set free of addictions. We need to really ask the Lord for a revelation of that shed blood in the garden, and that the purpose of that, it's the same as talking about He was wounded for our iniquities, or for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Well, He shed that blood from His brow as sweat in the garden so that we could have our willpower back. Is that powerful or what? Hallelujah. Now that gets me excited. Okay, so the two things or three things, we're going to recap a little what we really got. Christ, the anointed one, the burden remover, yoke destroyer. Okay, we're going to really grab onto that revelation. He doesn't just wash us from our sins. He cleanses the inside stuff, that spiritual muck that hangs on us from generation to generation. Hallelujah. He's given us the keys and the authority. And all of this is because of His blood. Amen?
Amen.
It's all because of His blood. So tonight we're going to grab onto this and take our willpower back and be set free of those internal spiritual bruises that nobody sees, but you're tormented with every day. The stuff we wear on the inside and try to be good Christians on the outside. Hallelujah. But you got to confess it first. Don't forget. We're going to take a little time and get on our knees and confess to the Lord personally and privately, so that we can be set free. Okay. Now, you guys have been talking about the R's, you know, walking it out. Okay, so I'm not getting into numbers, but we're going to just kind of connect the walking it out and the R's with what we grabbed on tonight. Okay? Because, okay, you get the truth. The first thing the devil's going to try to do is take it away from you. It's up to you to hang on to it. That's why you write it down on the paper, and, you know, it's a good idea to go back. Read it again. Chew on it some more. Ask the Lord to give you gnosko truth. Okay, so the first thing we want to do, make these Roman numerals, because I've got some other little numbers that go under, and I hope I don't get religious about the numbers on me, okay? But if you make these Roman numerals, it'll help. Roman numeral number one. We're going to, and don't worry about this tying into the other numbers and your R's, okay? It's all the same. Doesn't matter. Hallelujah. I'm kind of tying them together tonight. The first thing we're going to do is to recognize and take responsibility. That's why I brought that up in the very beginning of the class. If we're so busy pointing out everybody's faults and looking at our circumstances, and if this was different and if that was different, and if I had more time and if she didn't do that, or if I had a different job, forget about it. Forget about it. Okay, under recognize and responsibility, write this statement and put an exclamation point after it. The buck stops with you. Got it? Write it. The buck stops with you. Stop blaming others. No more excuses. However, remember, when God's dealing with you about a certain area of your lives, He's not doing it pointing a finger of accusation at you like the devil would like you to grab onto it like that. He's bringing it to you and He's saying, He's reaching out not an accusing finger, but a hand of healing and deliverance. Amen? He's bringing it up so you can repent. He's reaching out His hand saying, come on, come on. Let's repent. Let's get it over with. Let's get rid of it. I'm the burden remover, yoke destroyer. It's not with the accusation. Okay? And get your eyes off your brothers and your circumstances, because that's not going to get you set free.
Amen.
Forget about it. Okay. Turn to 1 John 1:19.
First
John 1:19. Oh, well, that's a problem. Well, anyway, I'll just tell you what verse it is. It's a verse that says, if we confess our sins. 1:9? Oh, thank you. 1:9. Okay. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so when we recognize, it's really important that you take responsibility and confess, because that's when you're going to be cleansed from the unrighteousness. You want to be freed up? Look in the mirror, not at your brother. Recognize it and take responsibility. And please recognize the devil's strategy to take your eyes off yourself. Because this, I'm telling you, is how you get set free. If you're looking at everything else and distracted from looking in the mirror, you're going to stay bound. Yeah, it's ugly. It gets better. Hallelujah. Hurts so good. Okay. So, Roman numeral number one was to recognize and take responsibility. And number two, Roman numeral two, we're going to break the curse or renounce. That was our R that fits in with this one. Renounce and remove. Okay? So we're putting a couple R's with each of these steps. In order to break the curse, we need to renounce, which means to fall out of agreement with. And then remove it. Something that we need to realize is that all this stuff that we looked at our parents or our grandparents and playing the blame game, I'll never do this, I'll never do that, you know, we've become just like them. You know, the things you say, I don't ever want to be like my mother doing that. Or, I don't ever want to be like my father doing that. And it's that iniquity. It's that inner spiritual bruise. So here we were, and here we still are. If my father didn't do that and my mother didn't do that, and now you're doing the same thing. So you better get over it and forgive them in a hurry. Because you need to be forgiven. Okay? We become what we hate. Now, under Roman numeral 2, I'm going to give you the smaller numbers now. I'm trying to help you guys out because I know you're going to be asking me, what number was that? Okay, the things we got to do to break the curse by the blood of Jesus, renounce it, come out of agreement with it, remove it. First, we have to be born again by the blood of Jesus. Now, hopefully all of us in here have come that far. If not, we're going to rededicate ourselves in a prayer at the end of this anyway. I like that when people do the altar call, you get to repeat it with them. I like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, number one, we're going to be born again by the blood of Jesus. Now turn to 2 Corinthians 10:4. We've all heard this a gazillion times, but we're going to gnosko know it tonight. Hallelujah. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So number two that I want to put across to you in the steps of breaking the curse off of our lives is that we need to use spiritual weapons. Okay? Curses don't get broken in the flesh. We have to use spiritual weapons. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. Casting down arguments and every high thing that it exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. And some of the favorite scripture in this ministry, Ephesians 6, foundational scripture for this place. We're going to go there for the sake of the brothers that haven't been here too long. You probably hear it almost every teaching, along with the Hosea 4:6. Okay? Which is just what we're talking about. My people, God's people, perish for lack of gnosko truth. Okay. Okay. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or trickery of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing the gnosko truth of God. Faith comes by hearing the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the revelation of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The point being, you're not going to break the curse in the flesh. We all been trying it. Well, maybe if I'll do this, I'll be free. And maybe if I do this, I'll be free. And if I try this diet, or if I try this detox, or whatever. If I burn all my porno magazines this time instead of just throwing them in the garbage. Okay, so that was number two. Number three, regain your willpower. How do we do that? By revelation knowledge of the blood Jesus shed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen? God Almighty agonized over his will versus the will of man. Can you imagine that? For you. That must have been a mighty painful experience for Jesus, who was able to hear and do his Father's will always, to have to agonize over that. My God. So regain your willpower. The R here is resist. Resist. When the devil comes against you with that thing again, tell him about Jesus in the garden. Cover it in the blood that came from Jesus' brow. And resist. Amen? Matthew 26 and 41. Okay. Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and 41. Okay, it says, watch and pray. Watch. Recognize and take responsibility. Watch. Watch and pray using your spiritual weapons, lest you enter into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing. We all in the Spirit want to be set free. But our flesh is weak. And we have to remember that. And guess what? Our weakness is not any surprise to our Father. We haven't fooled him a bit. Our weakness doesn't surprise him or disappoint him. He's known all along what we've been doing, what we've been struggling with, but he's made a plan of redemption. And in this end time, Jesus is revealing it in a deeper way to his church. Ephesians 3 and 20. We're getting there. Hang in there. Everybody with me still? Take some deep breaths. Wave at me. Thank you to those that were obedient. There, I got lots of waves now. Ephesians 3:20. Okay. Now tonight we're humbly coming up to our Father. We're going to touch and agree according to the Word of God. We're going to repent. We're going to accept responsibility. And we're going to bring this revelation truth to the throne room of God. And then He who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power, remember we've been blessed and endued with power from on high, according to the power that works in us. The Holy Ghost is in us. He's just ready to, waiting for us to unleash Him through the revelation truth. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what God's going to do for us tonight. And please come back and give me some testimonies about how many layers of the onion God peeled off after tonight. Okay? Okay, you guys, we're going to say a prayer, but I think before we do that, I'm going to just quickly go over a few other points, and then I'm going to have you repeat a prayer after me. But Roman numeral number 3, another R. We're going to reverse the curse. The curse isn't just taken away, but it's reversed. The Bible says the devil has to restore what he's taken. Amen? The Bible says that that he'll give us a garment of joy for the spirit of heaviness. Right? Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. So the third Roman numeral is reverse, not just break it. That's not enough. That's okay. Let me go over this again. Roman numeral number 1, recognize and take responsibility. Roman numeral number 2, break the curse. And under that, Roman numeral number 2, be born again, break this curse with spiritual weapons, and number 3 was regain your willpower. That was under breaking the curse. Now Roman numeral number 3, and I'm sorry if I threw you off, reverse the curse and restore. Okay, we have to recognize our enemy. It's back to what we've been talking about and talking about and talking about. This is about separation. You are not sin, and sin is not you. You are a child of God. You happen to have inherited a yucky pucky. Okay? You have to recognize the enemy. You are not the enemy. Your brother is not the enemy. Your mother and father are not your enemy. I hope me and Pastor aren't your enemy. Okay? You've got to recognize your enemy. This is under reverse the curse and restore. Number 1, recognize your enemy. Number 2, you've got to forgive. And I talked about that before. Some of you, and you know who I'm talking to, are still holding stuff against your parents. You know what? You want to hang on to that stuff? You're going to be bound forever. And forever and forever. I hope you make it home, but you're not going to have a good time while you're here. It's just not worth it. You're not hurting them one darn bit by not forgiving them. It's only hurting you, eating you up. And going to take more iniquity and place it upon your children. You're just piling it up on them. Okay, go to Matthew 5, please. Let me give you a scripture for forgiving. Matthew 5 and 22. No, I'm sorry, 5 and 44. Matthew 5, 44. These are strong words. But Jesus said it, and he didn't say it was optional. He said, do it. It's a command. Matthew 5, 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those who hate you. and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. God says you're going to reap what you sow. God says he'll not be mocked. If we don't forgive and bless, we won't be forgiven and blessed. Period. End of story. Okay? It's not even enough to forgive him. You have to bless him. And that means speak verbal blessings over them. I bless them in the name of Jesus. Ask the Lord to break that stuff off of them. And I'll tell you what, when you pray for them, you are going to get set free. It's not about a feeling. It doesn't say to forgive and bless if you feel like it. Your feelings lie to you. This is a command from God. And the reason he commanded it is because he knows better than us what's going to get us set free. Amen? And don't bother praying for them to get saved if you've got them bound up in unforgiveness. You're holding them bondage. Let them go. Free them up. Give them to the Lord so that the Lord can deal with them. He's our avenger. And I'm just going to give you another verse, but you don't have to turn there. Matthew 6:15. It says, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I think we fluff that off too much and cover it in the blood of Jesus. Forget it. It doesn't work. You reap what you sow. If you sow unforgiveness, you're going to reap unforgiveness and from God. Okay, small number three under big number three. Do not treat symptoms, treat the cause. Write that down and I'm going to find something in my book. Do not treat symptoms, treat the cause. Okay, I'm going to read something to you. The pains we suffer in life require more than slapping a bandage on them because our problems go deeper than what we see on the surface. We must look carefully. In Hebrews 12:15 it says, looking diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Deep down we all want to be loved. We all want to feel good about ourselves. But the wounds from our past often prevent us from experiencing love and contentment. The truth is, hurting people hurt people. One of the main reasons for a person's violent, aggressive nature is that somewhere in their past, they have been hurt or rejected. When we feel hurt or unloved, we put up emotional walls and barriers in self-defense to protect ourselves. We respond to people out of our own personal insecurities, which affect every area of our life. We overreact to what we suspect are slights and criticisms, and we are often defensive toward those who have never intended to hurt or threaten us. If we're honest, we have to admit that we all have suffered from low self-esteem at one time or another. And when we've been deeply rejected, our self-esteem suffers severely, and we usually end up retaliating against someone. We may also end up taking on some form of addictive behavior, which is the point in all of this tonight. Addictions such as alcohol, drugs, food, sex, gambling, excessive spending, those are obvious destructive patterns. Many people also throw themselves into their jobs, even their ministries, trying to escape their inner feelings. Those are not so obvious destructive patterns. A person who is in bondage to any kind usually struggles with one or more of these issues: insecurity, jealousy or paranoia, defensiveness, a martyr woe is me mentality, self-pity, isolation. You just identify your own, guys, because we all got some. Chip on your shoulder, argumentative and contentious, anxieties, pessimism, depression, loneliness, victim mentality, controlling and domineering, fear of failure, fear of success, being aloof or cold, or being in denial, saying everybody else has a problem and not me. So we're going to treat the root, which are the iniquities, and not these symptoms that I just named to you. Okay? And number four, we're going to release love. Okay, this is Roman numeral number four. Hallelujah. Sorry. Roman numeral number four. We're going to release love. Okay. Not walking in love is number one sin. Write that down. Not walking in love is sin. Not walking in love, number two, is satanic. And it's also self-destructive. Not walking in love is sin, satanic, and self-destructive. Now, you don't have to go there, but Romans 8:28, which we all try to claim, but you can't claim it if it doesn't apply to you. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Well, what's His purpose? Love. What is God? Love. So if you're not called according to His purpose and walking in love, forget saying all things are going to work out for your good. You cannot claim this promise. Okay? So, by walking in love, you know, we're all so afraid to be a little vulnerable and walk in love. But you know who really wins? You do. You do. Let's test our love walk tonight, okay? Roman numeral number five, we're going to walk it out. We can pray, we can get set free. The devil will come back to tap on your little soul again. We're going to walk it out. Write this down. Success is no accident. Success is no accident. Walk it out. And number six, just a little reminder, Roman numeral number six, watch your words. Your words get you in big trouble. Or can bring big blessing. Choose ye this day, life or death, curses or blessings. Okay. Praise God. Everybody stand up and stretch a little minute. We're going to pray a prayer. And then we're going to cast out some devils. Hallelujah. Stretch quietly. I still have a tape on. Okay. Now we're going to pray. When we're done praying, we're going to cast out some devils. Now, don't forget, the seed, the Word of God, the faith-imparting Word of God has just been revealed to you. Trust God and take Him at His Word. I don't care if you cough devils out. I don't care if you sneeze or yawn devils out. I don't care if you have any manifestation at all. Trust God, okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm sorry, before we pray this prayer, I want everybody, including those listening by tape, to get quiet with God. Quiet your hearts. Let this word wash you. Let the revelation be birthed in your spirit. Jesus paid the price in Gethsemane for you to take back your willpower tonight. Also, I want to mention, and I forgot to, that Jesus, one of the places He bled for was when they pierced His left side, and blood and water poured forth, meaning that they pierced His heart. His heart was pierced so that your broken heart can be healed tonight. Amen? So He was wounded on the outside for our sins to be forgiven. He was bruised so our iniquities could be removed, the yoke, destroying power of God. In Gethsemane, it won back the power of our will, that we can give our will back to God tonight. And His heart was pierced, that our hearts can be healed, because we're going to remember that it's lack of love that turned us to addiction in the first place. So get quiet and confess these things to your Father, and then we're going to pray out loud. Anything he brings to your heart, confess it to him. Okay, we're going to go ahead and pray this prayer, and I want you guys to repeat after me. Father God, I come before you in the name and in the power of your Son,
Jesus.
I admit that I am a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me of all my sins.
Jesus, come into my heart
and make me a new person.
Change me from the inside out.
And mold me into who you want me to be.
Father, as you gave your Son's life for me,
I give my life to you.
Right now,
I break every family curse
and every generational curse
that is on my life.
I plead the blood of Jesus Christ
over my mind,
my spirit,
and my body.
I break every yoke
and every bondage from my past,
and I sever those ties
through the power of the blood of Jesus.
I declare my freedom right now.
I claim my liberty right now.
I claim all that has been lost to be restored.
Right now.
Fill me, Lord,
with your love,
your peace,
your joy,
and your victory.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, as we've done before, we're going to command these spirits to leave. You've all looked over your list and repented for these spirits of addiction and all of the underlings that come with them. Right now, I bind the strong men that are underneath the spirit of addiction. I bind you, and I'll come back and get you later. I bind you, spirits of witchcraft, drunkenness, deception, alcohol and addictive personalities, iniquities and whoredoms, codependency and drug addiction. I bind you, devils, in the name of Jesus. People, look at me.
Amen.
The eyes are the window to the soul. Look at me. Let that thing see the word of God being spoken to it. In the name of Jesus, we come against the spirits of alcoholism, the drug personality, the drunkard, and the immoral spirits that would cause abortion and adultery. Those spirits of immorality on any man in this house that it was involved with somebody that caused an abortion in the name of Jesus, I command you, spirit, to go in Jesus' name. Spirits of cruelty, spirits of destruction, explosive attitude and hatred, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Spirits that would cause you to black out and have blank spaces in your mind from all the hangovers and all the highs, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Spirits of mind control, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. You spirits that affect the mind from the years of drug use, from the open doors, from the iniquities of our forefathers. Spirit of anxiety, a blurred mind, inability to think clearly. You spirit of confusion. You spirit of control and guilt. Spirits of deep hurt and a broken heart, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Come out of them. In the name of Jesus, come out of them. In the name of Jesus. The plan of God has come to this house tonight. The truth of God has come to this house tonight. The word of God and its revelation power of the Holy Spirit has come to this house tonight. And the truth, I declare tonight, makes these people free. In the name of Jesus, you spirits of addiction, I command you to come out. spirits of defeatism, self-defeat, emotional torment and failure, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. You spirits that control their responsibility levels and the inability to be responsible for their lives, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. You spirits that cause a wrong attitude and a wrong mindset, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. Inappropriate behavior towards others, emotional immaturity and spiritual immaturity, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Seek dry ground and don't return in the name of Jesus. The Word of God has revealed you tonight. The light of God comes against you tonight, and you've got to go in the name of Jesus. Spirits of anger, again, I tell you, spirit of broken heart, to come out. In the name of Jesus. You spirits of woundedness that entered these men of God by the wounds from their fathers and their mothers and rejection, I command you right now to come out. That broken heart spirit, come out. We choose tonight to let the walls down that separate us from God. You devils, come out and get out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of incest, fornication, uncleanness, and immorality, come out in the name of Jesus. And don't hang on to them. Let them out. Take some nice deep breaths and let them out. They came in without you knowing how they got there. They can go out the same. You may notice them leaving. If you don't, it doesn't matter. You didn't notice them coming in. Get out in the name of Jesus. Devil, I bind your lies coming against these men right now that say that nothing's happening. It's not about how we feel, it's about the Word of God. You cannot stand against the Word of God. You cannot stand against the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus once again. That blood shed from the brow of Jesus. That blood shed from His heart, from His wounds, from His bruises. In the name of Jesus, devil, you cannot stand against this revelation. Hell will not prevail against these men of God tonight in the name of Jesus. And I say, you Gideons, come forth. You men of God, come forth in the name of Jesus. Spirits of pornography and lust, go. In Jesus' name, you will no longer suffer with pornography and lust in the name of Jesus. Get out. Out. In the name of Jesus. Let it go. Spirits of lust, homosexuality, come out in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. They're not your friends. Spirit of murder. Even that spirit that causes us to murder with our tongue, come out in the name of Jesus. Self-hatred. Nervousness and insomnia, come out, go, in the name of Jesus. Come out of the men of God. Your power is broken in the name of Jesus. You got any complaint against these men of God, you go to the throne of God and see that it's covered in the blood. You take your accusations to the throne room of God. Their past has been covered by the blood of Jesus. Come out. Loneliness, low self-esteem, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. These men are men of God. They're children of the Most High. They are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They are the apple of His eye. He knows every hair on their head. He knows they're coming in and they're going out, and I call them blessed. I call them blessed. And what God blesses, no man will curse. I call these men blessed tonight. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you with the name of Jesus, with an open spirit and heart to receive the revelation knowledge of the Word of God, to receive the Gnosko truth that will set you free now and forever in all areas of your life, never to go back. I bless you with the ability to recognize your enemy. I bless you with the ability to say no to deception. I bless you with the ability to look in the mirror without turning away from it and to quit looking at your brothers. I bless you. I bless you with a hunger for the Word and for more revelation so that not only you can be set free, but you can take it to others. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you with the peace that passes understanding, knowing that God will finish the good work that He's started in you. Spirit of guilt. Spirit of guilt. Because of you hurting your families or your churches or letting people down. I tell you to go in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. God is not pointing His finger at us. He is holding out His hand in love and forgiveness and deliverance and healing in the name of Jesus. I bless you with the healing anointing of the Most High God, the balm of the Holy Spirit that heals your broken heart. His heart was pierced that your heart can be restored. I bless you as children because there's no distance in the Spirit. There's no distance in time. I bless these little boys in the name of Jesus with the knowledge of a loving Father who, when He has His arms around them, nothing else matters. No weapon formed against you, little boys, will prosper. Your daddy's got your name written on the palm of his hand. I bless you, sons of God, from the time of your conception until now and forevermore, in the name of Jesus. Be blessed. Be receptive to the Word of God. I bless you with the ability to be meek and humble before the throne room of God. I bless you with the ability to love your brothers. I bless you with the ability to love yourselves so that you can love your brothers. In the name of Jesus. Now I plead the blood of Jesus upon this word, upon this place, upon a spirit, soul, and body. We thank you, Lord, for the Gnosko truth which makes us free. We thank you that you suffered agony in that garden that we could take back our willpower tonight because of the knowledge of your truth. We thank you that you allowed your body to be wounded for the forgiveness of our sins, to be bruised for the destroying of the yoke of the iniquity of our forefathers. We thank you that you allowed your heart to be pierced, that ours could be healed. Along with all the other places you shed your blood for us, Lord, by the blood of Jesus, once and for all. And I bless you with the ability to walk it out. Walk it out. Be strengthened in the Word of God. Be strengthened by the prayers of the saints. Hold one another's arms up. We're here to help one another, amen? We're here to love one another. We're here to learn to walk in love. And I just thank the Lord tonight. We give Him glory, honor, and praise for what He's done. Father, we count it done. As Jesus said, it is finished. We thank you, Lord, for giving us a new understanding of the kingdom of God, the keys to bind and loose. In the name of Jesus, we loose these men from every stronghold, every addiction, every spirit of destruction, every generational curse, every iniquity, in the name of Jesus. Now let's give the Lord a hand of praise.